Well, good day to you today. Welcome to session 7 in our story, in our study of the story of the book of Ruth. And what a blessing it's been to me. And I want to thank so many of you for your comments that we've been receiving concerning it, that you're seeing this in a totally different light than you've ever seen it before, and how it just relates to us today as we both speak blessing and as we receive and let the blessing work in us. Today we're going to be talking about the redeeming of a nation, and it's really the first work of redemption that we see. And I think you will just set the tone for what we're going to do next week as we finish up this study, talking about the redemption of all people. And then you're going to see that, again, as we know from being taught about Jesus, that you need to ask Him into your life. And that is just so important. If anyone just happens to just be tuning in and you haven't, just ask Him to come in and you'll just see a transformation as you believe that He does. You don't ask and receive without believing, and let His grace just pour upon you. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank You again for Your word today. We thank You for another example of how we can see ourselves in the old covenant, how we can see Jesus come alive and be glorified through the Old Testament. And we thank You for this today. Holy Spirit, teach us, have Your way. And we declare we will be changed, we will not be the same. And it's in that precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Last week we talked about the blessing at work. We'd seen the proposal, we'd seen the marriage, and we saw the blessing at work. And we saw it really begin by yet another blessing. And again, it just reinforces to me how important it is that you and I speak blessing over our lives, but certainly over our families and others that we love and hold dear. And it was working for the three main characters in this, for Naomi, for Ruth, and Boaz. All of them were being prospered by the blessing of the Lord upon them. As we looked at the fourth chapter, we looked at verses 13 through 17, and what we saw there was the birth of a son. And it really, he was named Obed, which means servant. But we also noted that the word says that the Lord gave him the son. The New American Standard says enabled her conception. And it was one who would meet the condition of being able to carry on that posterity and yet inherit the land that had been sold as well. In verses 14 and 15, we saw the final blessing to Naomi. And in this blessing, the ladies who spoke it said, "You too have been redeemed." And that's important. It just wasn't Ruth. "You too, Naomi, have been redeemed, and you've been given a daughter-in-law who is better than the 7 sons," obviously talking about, "which she never had." And through that, Naomi's life was restored, provision continued to come to her, the land came back to the family. And again, this just speaks of the Lord's faithfulness. And to many of you who are widows, let this be an encouragement to you that He is not forsaking you. You have this right of redemption. It says He will be a husband to you. And you're going to see that more today than we've been talking about it in the past. He also says in these verses that Boaz will continue to be and the Lord will continue to be a restorer and a sustainer for you. And that's encouragement for all of us, self-included, as we begin to age and move through the latter decades of our life. We looked at Psalm 92, which is talking about the righteous, verse 14, and it says of us that we will still bear fruit in old age and we will be fresh and flourishing. And isn't that just exactly opposite from how Naomi found herself in the Moabite land, in Moab? She had nothing. She had no way of providing, left alone, it seemed. Yet when she returned to the Lord and to her native land, that land of the house of bread, all these things came back upon her. Now, when this child was born, verse 16 says, Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap. And this was a symbol that she's adopting him, that she's saying, I am bringing you, and you are now part of my family. So it was an act of adoption, saying, you're my own. And that to me is so strong, because that's the same words that I believe the Lord is speaking to us today. That you belong to me. I've given you, as Jesus told his disciples and now us, even my authority I give to you here on this earth. And we saw that all really flowed from covenant, love, from commitment. And we saw the blessing at work in all three of the players as each of them showed that covenant love and commitment. In verse 17, the child was named. And what a richness that came in that prosperity. To Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse was born David. What an honor to have David in your own personal lineage, as Ruth and Boaz did. And for this, it just makes me ponder how the faithfulness of one person can create a cascading event that goes generation after generation after a thousand generations, even. How important for us that we do what the Lord says, because we don't know what influence that may have down the road. And then in the last verses, 18 through 21, we saw the heritage of 10 generations. We looked at the number 10, seeing its importance, seeing that for 10 years, a son who was born illegitimately could not participate in the temple, and how that's exactly 10 years between Tamar's son and David. And so we looked at all these things and the great significance that Gentile women played in the heritage of David, and we saw also our Lord as we looked at the five that are listed there. And it's very possible, we know for certain three were, and very possible that four were actually from Moab. And so what we see in this is the Lord setting the stage to bring us in as Gentiles into his family. And this is where we're going to be looking today. But certainly that blessing, I mean, looking next week, but today we're going to be looking more at the redeeming of a nation. And what we want to see in this now is how the blessings of the Lord came true. Do you remember the blessing in Ruth 2:12? Let me just read it to you. This was what Boaz spoke over Ruth and how faithful the Lord was to bring it to pass. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And that's where she was able to operate in that covenant love, because she was able to receive his, even to the point of becoming a Gentile woman who is in the lineage, her and Boaz both, of both Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus. So today, let's talk about the redeeming of the nation. Now, we're going to be using this term Goel again, a kinsman redeemer. And you're going to see similar situations to how Ruth and Naomi found themselves in this account. And that's really what we want to look for, to see how the Lord in his first redemptive work set the standard, not just for the children of Israel, which is who we're studying today, but for the women that we just studied, Naomi and Ruth, and next week for us today. So many of the elements we saw in the redemption and the different things that had to happen at different times, you're going to see again today. So let's start by going to Exodus, the 6th chapter. And let's just ask the question, what was the problem of the children of Israel? And how did it compare to what we saw with Ruth and with Naomi? So starting in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of these at a time. So let's read 1 and 2. So the Lord's saying, you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And of course, we know there was a strong hand of the Lord upon Pharaoh. And then God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Now, what he's doing here is he is setting the stage for the redemptive work as he instructs Moses into who he is and what he's going to do. He even reveals his name to him. Literally what he says where the translations add, I am the Lord, he says, I, Jehovah, or I, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, as he probably would have pronounced it in the Hebrew. And then verses 3 and 4, he introduces himself to the Lord, and now in verse 3 he says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. So he's setting some of the family heritage up in their mind, in their remembrance, from whence they came, these 12 tribes that are held captive in Egypt. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, they did not know me. I was not known to them. So the Lord is revealing more of himself to Moses, and he does that every day to you and I now that his Spirit is placed in us. Verse 4, and this really gets to the heart of what is the foundation and the jumping off point or the starting point for what he's doing. I have established my covenant with them. Now, it was a covenant of a greater to the lesser, and basically it said, everything that's mine is yours. In other words, I'm just bringing you into my family, even though they didn't know it. They did not realize it. So he continues and says, to give them the land of Canaan. So here's the land popping up that we saw so prominent in the account of Ruth. The land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. So here he's really citing that covenant is the basis of what he's doing. But what is the foundation? Well, what precipitated the covenant? It was that covenant love, hesed. How often did we see that come to bear in the account of Ruth? Over and over and over. It was talked about how she showed covenant love, how Naomi showed it to her, how the Lord showed it to them, and Boaz as well. So we've got that basis set. And then in verse 5, he says, and this will be important and we'll build on it, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Now, in these days of turmoil that we live in today and things seemingly getting worse, we need to keep this foremost in our minds, that he is faithful to remember his covenant that was made with Jesus that we've been brought into. Verse 6 goes on and says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I the Lord, again, is what he's saying. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you. Now, we know with redemption comes what? With redemption comes a price that has to be paid. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. He continues in 7. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brings you out under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. And then he closes by revealing his name again, saying, I, Jehovah, I am the Lord. So what he's saying here is we're seeing what? Do you remember how we said the Goel must be willing? He is expressing absolute willingness to go through with this. And like Boaz said, I'm going to go take care of it tomorrow. That's what the Lord is saying here today. He said, I'm going to do this. So let me just, as we establish some key concepts here, let me ask you, who is he revealing as the Redeemer? Moses is his instrument on the earth. But the actual work of redemption, the miracles that are occurring, the signs and wonders, the actual stretching forth of the mighty arm is the Lord, the Father God. And that is important that we see, because this is a key concept that he is introducing of his own nature, which now what? You and I partake of, that we might be partakers of the very nature of the Lord. Look at the phrase here. I want to take you as my own. Now, there's more depth to this that you're about to see and that I believe the Lord wants us to see. What is he doing? He is extending the covenant to them. Now, covenant, we see in the relationship of what? A husband and a wife in the covenant of marriage. And that is what the Lord is saying here. I'm going to take you as my own. Let me just read you a couple of verses that really establish this fact a little more clearly. Jeremiah 2:2. Remembering some of the things that had happened, the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah. Go and cry, he says, in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord. I remember you. This is when they thought they'd been forgotten because of their actions. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal. Now, think about that. The love of your betrothal as he delivered him. Remember the celebration that they had in chapter 15 when they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam and her tambourine and all the ladies singing and worshiping? He remembered that, just as he remembers our praise and worship. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. So he's recalling the fact that they were betrothed to him. Jeremiah 31:31-32. Says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And then he remembers, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So again, recalling that same event. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Now, what came through for Ruth through her husband, Boaz? Provision, care, covenant love, that love of a father for his family. In Isaiah 54, now I know this is after Isaiah 53, and we take it as talking about us. It is a physical representation of the children of Israel and a spiritual for us. More on that next week. But look how he starts out talking to Israel. For your maker is your husband. So again, we have three affirmations that the Father is a husband, coming a husband, a Goel to the nation of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused. Now, in those two phrases there, can you see this in Ruth? Her husband died. She was forsaken, and yet no children. And it just, he talks about how he's going to bring them in when you were refused the opportunity to have it. You can even see it in the situation that we talked about with Tamar. And we're going to be back to this one because you're going to begin to see yourself in this one next week. So there is the wife of the deceased, the one who is betrothed, displayed here in these verses. But what did we see? Where did this really start as Boaz presented it to the one who was closer than he? It started with the land. So go back with me and look at Genesis 12:1-2. The Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. That's how this started. Again, talking about that land that in this redemptive work from Egypt will become theirs. Verse 2 says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then here we go with blessings. I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So blessings upon blessing spoken. Let me give you one more for this, and we'll go back to Exodus, the sixth chapter, the eighth verse, the last one that I read. Remember, the Lord said to Israel, to Moses, to tell Israel, "And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So through this redemptive work, Israel is not only brought out from under the hand of the burden of the Egyptians, but they're also what? Given this land. Now let's talk for a few moments about the process that we saw in the book of Ruth of how this redemptive work took place, some of the requirements, what had to happen in it. And so we can ask, what price was paid? Well, with Naomi and Ruth, Boaz did what? He purchased the land, and in so doing, he also had to take Ruth as his wife because she had become part of Naomi's family. So how about for Israel? Well, let me read you verse 6 of chapter 6 one more time. "Say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." And 7 went on to say, "And I will take you as my people." Now, this event, this purchase, really takes place and begins with the Passover. So let's look over to Exodus chapter 12, and let's start in verse 3. Now, we're not going to study the Passover in detail, but we're going to pick out some of the points that are pertinent to this redemptive work that we've seen in Ruth. Verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt and said, This shall be your beginning of months. It shall be a first month of the year to you." Was the redemption of Ruth a new beginning for her? Was it the start of a fresh life as this becomes the start of a new year? Yes. So there's an example of it being the same. Verse 3 then says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's needs, you shall make your count for the lamb." Now, according to each man's need, that just says to me that that lamb of God, this lamb, was all they needed. And that's really more pointing at us, but it is a type in this study. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, just like Jesus, a male of the first year, and you may take it from the sheep or the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the assembly." So they were examining it for 3 days. "The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." And just remember that New Testament scripture tells us without blood, there's not remission of sins. So we're seeing a price that is going to be paid here. And that's the question we really asked with this. "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the house." And then we'll just stop there where they eat. Now jump down to verse 13 and let's pick up. "Now the blood that they've applied shall be a sign to you where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." In other words, the blood is a sign of what? Of his covenant wedding with them. And he's going to pass over them, showing them mercy and well as grace to become. "And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Israel." In 14, "So this day shall be to you as a memorial." What does that mean? That means we keep it fresh in our minds. We celebrate it. We relive what has happened. Oh, you're going to see that in our redemption. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. That means we make sure our children understand what has happened to it and our grandchildren. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So, what was the motivation of the Lord to perform this redemptive work and pay this price of really not only the firstborn of the Lamb, which protected them, but really the firstborn of all Israel? And you're going to see that in a moment in another verse. It was His hesed, His covenant love for His people. Now, let's ask the question, what was the Goel restricted to do until he was requested? He couldn't do anything. Do you remember how Ruth written uncovered his feet and then really requested that she be redeemed by him? Look at this in Exodus chapter 2, in verses 23 and through 25. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they what? They cried out to who? To the God, to their God. And their cry came out to God because of the bondage. 24 says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. So what precipitated this act beginning to take place? Just like Ruth, they're going and crying out to the Lord God. We also see this in the 6th chapter, the 5th verse that we read. He said, and remember I told you this would come back for us today, and I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant, all based on hesed. Now, we know what happened. We know how the death angel came through. It passed over all of the firstborn, cattle and children, were what? They were killed. The plague overcame them. Judgment was executed upon them. And then they really said, get away from us. So I want to ask the question, how did they leave the land of lack and bondage? Now in doing so, let's think about Ruth and Naomi, because both were redeemed. Ruth returned or went to a land of Bethlehem, to the city of Bethlehem, where she had nothing. She really had zero rights. So she's in that same position that they found themselves as. Now, during this past week, a dear friend of mine who had listened to some of these previous sessions made this comment, and we were talking about it, and I can remember the Lord speaking it to me as I had prepared, and I think I wrote it down on my notes. But she said that I had made the comment concerning Ruth, that every time Ruth was present with her Goel, the one to be her Goel, she came away with something, never empty-handed. And often it was above and beyond what she'd expected. Just like when he fed her the meal, the noonday meal, and she had leftovers to do what? Take it to Naomi. So what that says to me is that's the way we ought to be with our Redeemer. We ought to expect to receive something every time we come into His presence. What a blessing. So let's talk about then. We saw his faithfulness to Ruth. We saw her gleaning in the field and really getting above and beyond as Boaz instructed him to leave extra. How did Israel leave? Well, let's look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. And I want to start in verse 31. Then he called for Moses, this is Pharaoh, and Aaron by night, and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said, and take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Then the Egyptians urged the people that they might send him out in haste for they said, we should all be dead. 34, so the people took their dough before it was leavened, unleavened bread, leaven being a type of sin. So they went out as if sinless, that they might, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. 35, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked. Now that's really important. This really is saying they requested, or more, they commanded. And think back on some of the teachings we've been doing, but particularly Healing School recently at High Point. And if you haven't listened to that one, go listen to it. I think it's the third one in our series on receiving from the Lord. They asked for articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, for the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptian. So they granted them what was requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptian. Now, this is really symbolic of the Lord taking them and being their husband who was going to provide all this for them. He did it, though, through these people. How did they leave? Remember Psalm 105, verses 36 and 37? Let me just read you 37. He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble or sickly upon them. So they came out strong, yet the Egyptians were what? Weakened, their strength taken. He provided for them as a husband would do. Exodus 16, 4 through 6, the Lord tells Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day, that I may test them that whether they walk in my law. And on the sixth day, shall be on the sixth day that they prepare what they bring in, it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So then Moses goes and tells the children of Israel, so he gave them manna, and he also sent them quail. So in this, we see the provision of the Lord as they leave and as they go through all their years with the Lord taking them as their father, even to where their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes must have grown with the kids. Now, I want to begin to close this today as you begin to see Naomi as a type of this nation, Israel. And you're going to see that, see the Father God again as the Redeemer. Look in Deuteronomy 7, and I want to read four verses, 6, 7, 8, and 9. The Lord says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. For the Lord your God has chosen you, yes, we saw how, as a husband, for all the people, to be a people for himself. And here's how a husband looks at a bride. A special treasure above all others. It goes on to say in 7, the Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number, for you are actually the least. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, he has brought you out with a mighty hand and has redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then verse 9 concludes, therefore know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant, and my translation says mercy. That word is hesed, so he keeps covenant and covenant loving kindness for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So, again, this is Naomi, a type that is represented here. In Isaiah 43, 2 through 4, the Lord says this through the prophet. Says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Now, I know we read this several weeks ago, but I just want you to see the relationship now and how it all ties together. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He's taken them as a man would a wife and provided all that a man is called to provide for his bride. When you pass through the waters, the sea, I will be with you. And through the rivers, the Jordan, they shall not overflow you. When you're tested, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall a flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom. In other words, I gave a people for the price for you. I gave Ethiopia and Saba in your place. And why did I do this? Because you were precious in my sight. You have been honored. Oh, glory. Just as Naomi received great honor, and the women spoke so much over her, Naomi, you've been redeemed too. So is true about the children of Israel. And he finishes this by saying, and I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. And that gets into the covenant protection that we have even today. Now, I read Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2 to you. Let me just read it again. The Lord saying, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal when you went after me in the wilderness. And then what happened to them? They rebelled against him. And this is reflected in the fifth verse of that same chapter. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me? They have gone far from me. They have followed idols and have become idolaters. And really, what else had they become? An adulteress. They left the Lord and turned to other gods. Now, this sets the stage for us next week as he's speaking to the children of Israel now. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. He wants his bride back. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, that place where his kingdom head is. Now, what is he telling them? Now, Israel, you have need to be redeemed from your sin. And with this, then, we're going to begin to see the types that Boaz and Ruth represent. But I want you to see his focus is on Israel. Now, what did Jesus say? I was sent first to whom? To my people, the Jewish people. So we're going to see ourselves in these types and shadows in Ruth next week, and the role that Boaz plays, as we've seen in the story of our kinsman redeemer. Don't miss next week, because we're going to see what the Lord God and Jesus says about his bride. And that's you. And that's me. We love you guys. Trust today has blessed you. And we'll be with you again next week as we talk about the redeeming of all people.